I have drenched my handkerchief with tears. It was such a beautiful service so far with the baptisms and wonderful, wonderful songs. The Word of God comes to us this morning from the book of Acts, chapter 8, verse 26, starting there. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot, reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about? Is it himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they travelled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and travelled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. Let us pray. Our Holy Father, thank you for Philip, who reminds us to talk to others about Jesus. Philip was prompt in obeying you, Father, and this resulted in the eunuch asking to be baptized. Philip helped him to understand the truth. And today, Lord, we witnessed more baptisms, and we pray their lives will bring honour and glory to you. Thank you for Jesus, and in his name we pray.
Thank you, Deborah. That's awesome. What a great morning. It's good for the families, and welcome to you if you're a part of a family or a friend. We're so grateful for to have you with us today, but it's also good for us as a church, isn't it? I sound very deep and sonorous because I was at their house last night next to a fire, so that's why my voice is so deep. You know, when I listen to these faith stories today, reminds me, of how spectacular it is when you see God at work in people's lives. Very personal, quite moving, and quite exciting. And as you listen to somebody's story, you really sense God's at work. God's doing something in their lives. I want to remind us that God has actually been doing something in their lives before we rocked up. You heard it in each one of their stories, probably. But certainly I heard it quite well in Gemma's story. The questions she was asking were the questions like, she was searching for identity, who am I meant to be in life, my sense of purpose. Already, even though she may not have named it, God was at work. God was at work when she met a guy who debated when you're meant to put up a Christmas tree. God has been at work. Even Aria, who came from a Muslim faith, decided that there was nothing in it and thought that that's it, I'm not going to have anything to do with faith. Even that, God is at work in that. We think that when we rock up into somebody's life, maybe we think, that's the moment when God's going to work now. I'm here. I'm the only person that God might use. But in fact, he's using a lot of things before us, and he uses a lot of things after us. The story that we just heard in Acts reminds us of that. Philip found that he was led by God to a desert road that went from Jerusalem to Gaza, and he meets an Ethiopian man traveling his way who's seeking God. He's reading the Old Testament prophet Isaiah in this chariot, wondering, what does this mean? And God sends him, this microphone is not great for me. You've got, the louder I talk, the more it gets compressed. You've got it too hard. I need more space. Where was I? So he's reading the Bible and he's thinking, I don't know what this means. I guess he must have thrown a prayer up to God. And God sends Philip to meet him. And Philip is just the right person at the right time who can help him with his questions and help him discover what they mean. And Philip begins where he's at, what are you reading? What are you trying to understand? And then through explanation and listening carefully, Philip brings him to a point of decision and he leads him to a response, and they see some water and they get baptized in that water as a sign that this man was going to follow Jesus with his life. And then in verse 39 of that chapter, it says that the Spirit then took Philip away and the Ethiopian went on his way rejoicing. He had found God. So for the Ethiopian, he experiences, I've got a journey with God, then this guy rocks up from nowhere and starts to talk to me and explains to me about what God does in the world through Jesus. I give my life to Jesus and then he disappears. Goes on his way. It's not a great follow-up program, but right there, God does something in that moment. I might have shared this story, but I was reminded of this when a friend of mine was hanging out with us, and it was three Christians, and he wasn't a Christian. And we were off surfing, and while we're out in the water surfing, a bloke walks up on the beach and talks to him because he's shivering, he's a bit cold from the surfing, leads him to believe in Jesus and then walks away. We come in and he's going, oh, you wouldn't believe what just happened. I just gave my life to Jesus. And we're like, what the heck? Who is that man? That's kind of like the Ethiopian experiences. And I find this so encouraging in a number of ways. Firstly, God hears the Ethiopian's heart. This Ethiopian is a seeker. And God does what God can to make sure that this Ethiopian man finds him. If you're a seeker, God wants to be found by you. He is not making it hard. He is moving people to get in your way so that you will find him. That's the first encouragement. If you're a seeker, God wants you to find him. The second one is actually that God can use people like me and you in surprising small ways to be just the right person at just the right time. When we're like Philip, who's sensitive to God and he's ready in his obedience. When we're like that, we can be used by God, be just the right person at just the right time to say just the right thing, because God's at work before us, with us, and after us. That encourages me. So if God is at work, then one of the things I think we should really pay attention to is listening carefully. How is God at work in you? We've been doing a series on telling the story of the compelling life, of what it's like to have a compelling life with Jesus. And I've spoken to kind of three things. We're speaking to the story, what God has done for us in Jesus, my story, my experience of the changed life, and we've heard that today in three different ways. And today I want to focus on helping us hear what your story is, that people who may not even call themselves Christians already can relate to the work of God in their life. And how do I hear that? How do I hear what God is already doing in them? One of the things I've discovered is I hear that by asking good questions. When I used to do evangelism at university, so I'd go up to people and talk to them about Christian faith, complete strangers, I would say, hey, I'm a Christian, I'd love to share with you what I know about Jesus. Got some time, and if they had some time, and I got more yeses than noes, by the way, but anyway, if they had some time, I'd say, look, I can tell you what I know. I want to hear what you know. I'd start with a question. Tell me what you know about Christianity or Jesus. What do you think about it all? And it made it easy for me to get into the conversation. I found that if I want to hear and understand people, then the way that I'm going to do that is by using questions. I have this saying that that Jesus is the answer. I just don't know what your question is yet. And I've got to figure that out. And the way that I figure it out is I figure it out by asking questions. Jesus used a lot of questions. The two things that Jesus did when he taught is he told stories, and maybe we preachers could learn from this, and he asked questions. He asked 183 questions in the Gospels. And he answered three of them. He was asked a bunch of questions, less than he asked, but he only answered three of them. And now I find that very fascinating. Jesus is the one who says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He actually knows the answer. He's like the mass whiz that has any question that can come his way already knows the answer to, right? But he doesn't give people answers. He gives them more questions. Why would he do that? Why would the one who knows the answer ask questions? Ever had a teacher or a mentor answer your question with a question? You say, oh, I want to know this. And they say, that's a really good question. What do you think? I don't know. That's why I'm asking you. Well, if you did know, what would you say? They're so annoying, these people, when they answer your question with more questions. Why would they do that? It's because questions make us explore and think and seek. That's why. Because questions help us do our own work. But also, a good teacher needs to understand what you already know. What is already going on in you? Because we want to work from that towards knowing more. Good questions, frankly, are actually part of being a good listener. We could all do with asking better questions in anything. But when it comes to sharing what God might be doing in your life and seeking to hear what God's already doing, then I want to ask good questions. And I have four kinds of questions. That's a little distracting over there, isn't it? For those online, it's the baptistry emptying. The first kind of question I like to ask people are understanding questions. I want to understand where you're coming from. The second kind of question is I want to ask them bridging questions, so that if I want to go deeper, how do I bridge into that? Then I want to ask insight questions, things that help clarity and insight. And then finally, if I want to be having a faith conversation, I want to ask connection questions to faith. So let's say I'm in a conversation with somebody, and this is a very common conversation when you're in first year uni, year 12. What are you going to do next year? And they say, I don't know, I'm going to have a gap year. Right. What are you going to do with the gap year? I'm thinking about travelling. Right. Where are you going to travel? Okay. So these are all understanding questions. And then at some point, I might ask them, why do you want to travel? That's getting a bit deeper, isn't it? A why question, why do you want to travel? And I ask, and this is really annoying, so if you talk to me and I ask you these kinds of questions, I know you're annoyed because I am going deeper than you probably want to, but I'll then say something like, what are you hoping to discover about yourself when you do that travelling? Now, not many people go there, do they? Right? I remember a friend of mine, he's head of psychology down at Hobart University, and I stayed with him. And this was his opening question to me. It's great to see you, Jason. Who are you in the process of becoming? I can guarantee you no one has ever asked me that question before in my life. We got deep pretty quick. But who are you hoping to find out? What are you hoping to discover about yourself? You know, that question has moved us from a light, trivial thing of I'm going to Vienna and I'm going to see amazing things. I'm going to Paris. You've got to, you know, whatever you've got to do in Paris. It goes to a place where actually we learn stuff as we move on in life. And I've used that question quite a lot of times. I've never used who are you in the process of becoming. But I've also used these kinds of questions to actually connect to faith. Because as I've listened to people, if you're a person, Gemma, who's trying to figure out who you are and your contribution in the world, and by the way, that is a super common challenge, right? That's not just your challenge. I know that side of the room's also got that challenge. And maybe even a 50-year-old is still trying to figure it out, right? So it's a super common challenge. And I would probably say to somebody, look, my Christian faith helps me figure out the answer to that question. What helps you? What helps you figure out the answer to that question? Because I want to know. And see how when I ask that question, I'm not trying to be tricky. I'm actually genuinely interested in what is going on in your life. I want to know more. I want to understand more. And so I have a connecting question to something that puts faith on the table. And if they're not interested in faith, they won't take the hook. But if they're interested in faith, we've got a conversation, an interesting one. I ask people, have you thought about what makes a Christian? Have you thought about spiritual things? I've asked people this kind of question. You've been coming to our church for a long time now, or youth group, or play group, or whatever group you've been coming to with us. What are your thoughts about Jesus? You've been hanging around, you hear us say stuff. What are your thoughts about Jesus? Or when your friends and family come along to significant events like baptisms, a really great question, ask them, hint, hint, what do you think about all that? And some people will go, oh, okay, nothing to talk about here. But some people go, oh, that was really interesting. And we've got a conversation. Why I love questions in helping understand where people are coming from is I don't want a debate with my friends and family. I mean, I love a debate and I love an argument. But what I've found is that doesn't lead me anywhere. I've got to hang out with my siblings for the rest of my life. And if I have this kind of little argument and then we get nowhere, how am I going to do more Jesus conversations later on? Doesn't seem like it works. Or with my friends. Whereas if I'm like asking questions and I'm genuinely trying to understand them, Well, we've got a conversation that might go on for a decade or so. How about you? Have you found that? They're trying to start with listening, using questions so that you can understand somebody more, has taken you further in them understanding your faith in Jesus. In Australia, we do not talk about three things. We don't talk about death, politics, or religion, which means it makes it pretty tough to talk about death, politics, and religion. I made the mistake last night of talking about all three of those things and found myself in some hot water at some point because it seems I'm on the wrong side of politics. But it also means there's an opportunity because nobody talks about death, politics, or religion, which means in Australia, we don't talk about the things that matter to us. And how surprising when you meet people who are prepared to do that, who are prepared to listen to you about the things that matter to you. That's really surprising. The things that our Aussie culture won't talk about, we talk about. Maybe not so much politics, but certainly death and certainly religion. My hope is this, is that if somebody was seeking God, that God would find that you and I are like Philip, sensitive to his spirit and ready with our obedience. That in that moment, that you won't make an excuse and say, God, find someone else to say something or to ask the right question. Find someone else because I'm clearly not up for this. I want you to be sensitive to the Spirit of God. Trust that you're the right person for that time and you'll have the right words and that you'll be ready with your obedience. Today, you might have come to church and you don't call yourself a Christian. Well, I wonder what you've thought about this morning. What have you thought about it all? And I wonder as well if you can see God at work in you, even by being here today. God's not far from you. If you're seeking God, he will do what he can so you can find him. And it would be amazing, amazing to hear your story, to hear what you think about Jesus, what you think about Christian faith, even if you hate it. In fact, you know what? I love that conversation even more. And I think if you've come with a friend today, if you've come with somebody from your family, it would be fantastic if they asked you the question, what do you think about all this, if you actually told them what you think about it. Because here's the thing. We would love to listen to you. We really would. We'd love to hear what your questions are, how you think about this Jesus stuff, and we'd like to share that as part of our life too. Let me pray. Thank you, God, that you're at work in people's lives. We've really witnessed that tonight. And what I love about it is today, this sermon was not lined up with this moment. And that we've had the privilege of hearing people share how you're at work in their life. And then I've had the privilege of explaining to people that God, you're already at work in their life, even if they don't name it yet. God, I pray for those of us who follow you 100% full-hearted, that you help us be great listeners and very sensitive to what you're already doing in people's lives. Help us have a posture of listening and using questions, not to trick people, but actually to help understand them. And then I pray for anyone who would not say that they're a Christian, that they would realize that you love them so much that if they were to seek you, here's your promise to them. If you seek me, you will find me. And I pray that they will take you at your word and seek you. I pray this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.